DJ, can you hear us?
I can hear you good, thank you.
Okay, cool, thanks, one sec.
Looks like you're in a job trailer or somewhere.
Exactly. I hate daylight savings times because it means I gotta work longer.
We're gonna send around a sign-in sheet today.
Okay.
I did fill in the missing blank on mine too, so I don't know who controls that, but still be left.
Spell on the ground.
We're missing Janice and Natalie, right?
Yeah.
I guess I call this to order, is that?
Or did we do that last time, even though you weren't on that?
I don't, we tabled it until we had all the members.
Oh, we were getting new members.
We knew we were getting new members, yeah.
We also tabled it because you were initially a member.
That is because your name was. Yeah.
I was for group rule or whatever.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
But we'll still let you call it to order.
Because you're still technically the.
Well, that sounds good. So we'll call the meeting to order. Got some new folks, so we'll do a quick round of introductions. I'm Jeff Stallard. Just my background, I'm a wastewater capital manager for our wastewater utility water department services. I live here. And I've been on the board for 2 years now, roughly.
Yeah,
about 2 years.
Dean Wood, I've lived in Westland since 99, so my day job is working for a civil engineering consulting firm that focuses on water and wastewater. Been on the utility project board for maybe 3 years, 4 years.
Clark Guide, assistant city engineer.
Eric Glaze, public works director, city engineer. Been with this city about 12 years. I don't live here.
I'm Carol Bright, and I'm city councilor, and I'm the liaison to this advisory board.
Well, nice to meet all of you. I'm the first speaker. I lived at Westland for 3 years, and I live in the street, mostly rate making and conservation.
I'm Bo Janelle. I've been on the board for about a year and a half. I have no connection to utilities at all. I'm a filmmaker.
And then TJ?
TJ Landis, been a resident since 2006. I am currently a utility contractor and primarily focus on underground.
Awesome. So that's our group. We're missing, as I mentioned, we have two out, Janice and Natalie out here with us. If you didn't get a copy, notes that we suffer less. So is it approval of the agenda or is it really approval of the notes from last?
Or do we have to make do we have to deal with the election before we can do any of that?
They're both. There's approval of this agenda and then approval of the summary notes. So I suppose we'd have to approve the agenda with the addition of the
election
nomination. That sound right?
Wait, that would be correct.
So does somebody need to
move to approve the agenda?
With the addition of?
I move we approve the agenda with the addition of the nominations and elections, or is it just nominations? The nominations and elections of new chair and vice chair.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Can you hear us okay, TJ?
Yeah, it's actually good. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So we'll move forward with this agenda for Tuesday, April 8th, with the amendment of the addition of the nomination of new chair and vice chair. Just, I guess we'll start there before we dive into approval of meeting minutes from last time, so we can get that under our belt. Does anybody want to volunteer themselves or nominate someone to be the chair or vice chair?
I nominate Jeff, you as chair. Chair.
Anybody else? I would be happy to serve as chair again this year. Anybody object to that? Or do we need to do a vote of approval for the chair, and then we'll go to vice chair next?
So would you be seconding that?
I'll second your nomination.
I accept the nomination. And then we vote.
We vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Does anybody want to nominate or volunteer themselves to be the vice chair? And I'll just say my experience from the you run the meeting essentially, but the chair's not around. Otherwise, there really I don't know is a whole lot of extra time commitment. I think if we had letters that go out or anything like that of supportive things, you know, you might be in the process of crafting that letter to bring it here. But otherwise, I think that's kind of, it's not a, neither of these positions are big heavy lifts. We're not putting on conferences or anything like that in these roles. Dean was the vice chair last year.
I think I ran to one meeting in your office.
Do you have any objection to being nominated to be the vice chair?
I do.
Then I would nominate Dean Wood as the vice chair.
I'll second that nomination. TJ, you got any objections to Dean?
No, I think Dean would be great.
I was going to say in regard to the nomination.
All right, all in favor? Aye. Okay. All right, so we can move forward now. We'll approval of the summary notes from last, from the February 11th Utility Advisory Board meeting. In my quick review, there was no, I didn't have any complaints or concerns on what the notes had. Anybody have any comments or anything they'd like to discuss before we seek out a motion to approve?
Did we skip three? We did. Public comments?
Yeah, I did skip three. Does anybody have any public comments?
Don't see anybody here. No.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
So no public comment. Just in my 2 years, there's never been somebody from the public come to our meeting.
So I'll make a motion to approve the February 2025 summary notes as drafted.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry.
That was Dean and Beauvoir. And then we'll turn it over to the city to talk through the master, the water master plan, capital project list, and available funding.
So, two handouts. This one is the one we presented last meeting. I think it's all the same. Over on the right side, you'll see the what we outlined for fiscal year 26, 27, basically the 5-year outlook. what we wanted to take from this and then move on today is really the discussion at this other table, which is out of our recently updated water master plan that outlines the capital improvement projects. Probably a solid 10 year, but it goes out 20 years. But really the main focus on today is just kind of the theme would be, okay, here's what we've got programmed in over the next several years. But the goal would be to look at what we're deferring for maintenance. And it's quite substantial, really. I mean, if you do the next 2 years are a little bit deceiving in that we've got, if you look, $4 million programmed repayment for a loan for a new ops building, the water fund, and then there's this ever moving $12 million for the I-205. So the resources in this next 2 year cycle are a bit inflated. But if you move on to, if you remember last time we described, so 26, we're going to do some capital projects. 27, it's going to be more maintenance.
No, that's right. It doesn't read fully correctly on here right now. We've changed it since then.
Oh.
That's why it's draft.
Okay. So we're going to do every other year. We do a capital project. Following year, we're going to do more maintenance-driven projects. In that, I mean stuff that how do I best describe that? They're not the large scale. They're more some of the smaller stuff that maybe our operations could. Take on some of the repair
and replacement. And then when we talk about capital projects, we're going to be talking about waterline replacement right now, because those are the ones we have outlaid for most of our capital through fiscal year 30 today. Good shit.
Yeah.
It's Michael. Question is about a total year of 12.9 million 2004 to 2028.
24.
What is it?
2004.
I know what's happening.
Yeah.
24.
Yeah.
To 2028. And if I'm looking at the spreadsheet, if I had 25, 26, and 27, the water capital projects, more than that.
We come on our budget sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where you got to keep in mind that I-205 water line and ops building are not included in this check in the master plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little. That's why it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
Because it looks like we're spending a whole bunch of money in FY26, but
yeah, we really you got to take like 16 million resources.
So the water line's 12 million, and the new building,
it's 4.
Four for 26 and 27. It's
2.5.
So. 6.5 total.
We thought we had a little, so as part of that water line, like 205, we've got, Carol, is it a grant or we consider it a loan? And so 1.5 from feds. Right. And then 5 million from state.
Right, and that is not a loan, it is a grant. So the state approved 5 million to the city to help pay for that, and then in a what they call a community grant from the feds where instead, usually when money comes from the feds, it goes through the state to individuals, and this was specified for this project. And when the other counselors were just in Washington, D.C., it had already been committed, so we think that the money will be coming to us. We just, I'm not sure that anybody really knows the mechanism to make that happen.
Yeah, and we just had a meeting last week with our finance director because the state, we've had this $12 million sitting building interest, and we're like, we got to pay something because, you know, if you looked at our, we keep moving this $12 million down, and so they finally.
So right now it's part of that beginning balance.
Yeah, and so we said, hey, let's materials on hand, bill us something so we could pay down. And so we finally got the first payment or invoice, and that, so that's good. But we started to look at this state money as well, and we were really hoping that that could be utilized for other water projects as well, but apparently it's just for the bridge project, and that has to be completed by spring of 27.
And
invoiced in
the $12 million bond funds that are available, I think there's a lot more flexibility for how that is used. But the 1.25 from the federal government and the $5 million from the state has to apply to the water line under 205.
Yeah.
Is my understanding.
And the 12 is more flexible because it's a full faith and credit line.
Right.
So it's not okay.
Right. So when you do bonds like that, just for your, I was a chief financial officer for Pathways River Water for 12 years before I retired and went to city council. So I've got some financial background and some water background. But yes, so the 12, when you issue bonds like that, you try to be pretty general in what the money's for. So the money is for water lines. Mm-hmm. And so that means it can be, it can contribute to that water line, but if there's any left over, it can be used for other water lines.
Yeah. So if you look at this table, we've got S1, R1, 3, M01 and any of the CMP projects, depending on where we land with those programmed in. So not a whole lot off the list, unfortunately.
I see these as $24, like, and then the numbers in your water fund have some kind of increase in those dollars from a financial standpoint, right? I mean, if it's, here's a snapshot today, but obviously we were doing a project in 2030, say,
yeah,
we know it's going to be a lot more, you know, we know there's going to be some kind of inflationary, even if it wasn't crazy out there like it is right now, there's going to be some kind of. Sharing.
Yeah.
And so is that captured somewhere between the two?
We've marked, at least for the water line replacement, our normal, you know, pipe, we mark them up yearly.
Okay.
We haven't had any, you know, to pick off any big capital, you know, $1 million, $2 million interior and exterior coating projects or, you know, reservoir construction. I was looking at that too, being that it's almost a year old numbers, but I'm sure there's already, they're out of date, I imagine. So,
I was having a hard time. I was just somewhere we should capture that there's going to be, you know, we're looking for 10 years, we should at least be capturing inflation. you know, I don't know what construction costs, but that's usually about 3.5% per year roughly. Just an inflation in normal years over historical times. And so somewhere that should be captured in there somewhere, whether it's in the rate or the financial model, that's where we capture it.
Yeah, do you know in the master plan whether they did inflationary increases for the different year segments?
For the out years? Yeah. I don't.
We probably need to go back and look at their.
It could surprise you.
That's I probably think they might have. Okay. Probably in the, it's probably in the language someplace we just didn't read close enough, right? But yeah, when, on our forecasting and our budget, we do try to add, it's not shown there, but we do try to account for that.
Okay.
I think the moral of the story is we have a lot more work. And now enough funding. We get a little farther behind every year. So how do we get more money?
One of the things that, you know, when you estimate these costs, if it's a pretty straightforward water line, I would imagine that you don't need to add a huge contingency, even if it's not designed yet, because water lines are pretty much basic, that's what you do. But if it's something like a reservoir coating or pump station work that is not in your ordinary every day, then perhaps when you do the estimates, you add a larger contingency because there's a lot more moving parts. Is that how you guys kind of look at it?
Yes. I mean, I think our inflationary costs on water line replacements material. I mean, like the construction of it is pretty basic and pretty simple. I would say I'm looking at some of these on the master plan list and the seismic rehabilitations. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I assume these numbers are good. I would have no idea telling you whether they are or not. I don't think we've ever done one before.
If you go down. Well, that's just the attachment. The actual document does reference, Jeff, the ENR cost index.
Okay.
It doesn't give the what percentage.
Right.
It just says it's,
look at it.
It says that, you know, it's $2024, but as those projects become closer to reality than the projects narrow down. But yeah, it says accuracy range of -30% to +50%.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
That's a pretty odd idea.
Well, and that's, you know, for South Park Water Board, they just went through their prioritized projects and took the water system master plan from 2016 and then updated some of the prices. And they did that after they got a very surprising bid or packet of bids on their chemical feed building. So that way they could use those same water system master plan, updated costs so that they could go through and look at their system development charges and their rates.
Yeah, so how do we close this gap? Question. And I know with the TAB, and, you know, I know we're exploring some funding, additional funding sources for that. We're going to call it traffic safety fees or something of that nature. Plus, I know the mayor's talking maybe a bond, but I don't know. I think wherever we land there, I think we need to have this discussion too, because I know you don't want to be doing two at once going out to the voters. That's not going to be
what we're seeing. And the challenge, I think, is that the city charter limits the annual rate increases to 5%. And that I think was put in place at a time when people thought that the city was just raising rates willy-nilly. My experience in Clackamas County, though, is that we spent like, Clackamas County spent 20 or 30 years saying, we're not going to raise rates. We're going to be cheap. And then none of the systems could maintain.
But isn't there a mechanism where there's through costs?
There is for Wes, but not for water. And so this, if we wanted to do that, we would have to go to the voters. And because it would potentially increase people's rates by more than the 5% on the water side. The city of Oregon City does separate out their bill. They have a treatment component and they have a distribution component. Their charter limits their distribution component to 3% a year. So, but that would be something that would need to go to the voters. We would have to get approval to do that. And that would be a lot of communication outreach.
And we've explored we've opened the conversation with South Fork on how can we do that separated, because they're looking at large scale improvements on their end.
Yeah, that's a 60-year-old water treatment plant.
So we don't want to be absorbing all of that.
Right.
Well, and then everybody's feeling the pinch of things being more expensive, and that's not different. You said that in our power bills,
right?
The utility power bills have gone up just as much as everybody else, the residential and stuff, which is more than 3% for sure. And so, I mean, yeah.
So people aren't going to like to hear the message just because they know that they're paying more on their utility, their electric bill, the gas bills kind of stay, the same rate, but not close. But, their other bills have gone up, their grocery bills have gone up. And certainly with some of the weather events and things that we've had all over the country, insurance rates are going up. So people are seeing it everywhere, and then we're going to have to come to them and ask them for something more than that 5% that they're used to.
But I think that's a story that everybody would understand as well, right? I mean, I think you have a reasonably from a population that if the message is put forth in a good way and in a genuine way, and here's where we're at, here's the plan if we can't raise the rates anymore, here's what we could do if we could raise the rates. Some analysis would need to be done on what you're getting for that. In my opinion, if the message is that you need to look at it. We're going to go 7%. Annually for these next 5 years, and this is what it gets us versus not. Here's the outcome: we're going to have water pipes that aren't as maintained, potentially more water breaks, potential water notices. Those are the realities of where we're at, right? It's a reactive. We're going to be operating as a reactive utility instead of a proactive utility, and you can do both. People just need to understand that that's the situation, regardless of whether you're actually able to get approval of it. If you've gone out and told the story, when things don't go right, it's not a surprise to anybody, right?
Well, deferred maintenance is more expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And let them know that even with that increase, we're still paying less than everybody else in the area. I think that's the fact that still needs to be pushed out, is that you've got a crappy system, we want to make it better, and you're still going to be less than.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing at this point, But yeah, it's a communication.
It is a heavy lift, but I think there's no, delaying the message to a point where things are normal, then somebody's like, why did, now they're asking for this? Right? So I think there's kind of a rip the band-aid off, but it needs to be thoughtful.
And it's not like you're going to them often, so it's not a chicken little where you're, But if it breaks, it's going to cost you more,
The other thing you could, the messaging is it's tied to a rate increases will be tied to a planning document or something. So it's not you're like some willy nilly just making rates up. It'll be tied to a planning document that's been. Our system's been studied, and here's what we
once we get there, we can get back to the 5%, you know.
But anyway, I would encourage us to tell the bad message. I mean, be pretty blunt, informative of it. You know, here's our current rates. If we can operate this way, and here's the results, we can operate this way.
And with that being said, I will take my experience from being in Soleil, where they have 100-year-old pipes that are constantly breaking because they haven't maintained them. And that is exactly what you are going to be looking at.
Well, and some of the system, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the system was not necessarily built with the same like fire flow standards that we have today. When I looked on Nixon, I think the water line that went down Nixon, not the service lines to the houses, but the water line that went down Nixon was like 1.5 or 2 inch water line. When I lived there, it was replaced. And what's your minimum? Yeah, is it like an 8 inch or?
For the main?
Yeah.
Yeah, eight.
And so they upgraded it. And
I was just trying to, I wanted to do a run the math out for what you said if you did 7%, you know, what that would be. I have an old graph that just shows surface water. And
that's STC, we don't want to compare that.
Or if it's a one time, or if it's a one time back.
Right, yeah,
it gets us.
Yeah,
it catches us up.
It's a price adjustment, not yep.
Which is where I think we started a few years ago with our street maintenance.
Yeah,
I agree. Dave, that might even be.
But the street maintenance fees are on right in the charter.
Right.
Yeah. So what does that mean? So if it's tied in the charter, we have to go vote.
Yes, the voters have to approve it. So. When you look at this, and I'm sorry if I'm picking up too much volume here, but when you look at this, the water is the top part. And so you can see that our water costs are the lowest of anybody's. Our total utility bill isn't, but that's because we've got the parks maintenance fee and the streets fee, which not everybody has all of those things.
But still of those, we're still, you know, third lowest.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's and for what this city bills itself as the second wealthiest city in the state, it should not be dealing with issues.
Yeah.
So 7% would be $2.
Yeah. And that's the other thing in the message.
Exactly.
We don't talk in the message about the percentage increase as much as you give them the dollar amount.
Yeah. Compare it
to the increase.
I think the government needs to start using that type of
messaging.
Because, you know, talk to the people the way they want to be talked to, the way they understand. It's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying 7 was the right number. I was just saying, like, whatever it is, it, you know, just be frank with people. I agree. And just tell them what it is. And here's the ramifications if we don't, right? I mean, in the end.
We used to, our water manager at Blackmon River Water used to, you know, say when we were talking about constraints, funding constraints, as he was saying, well, we could just give you 1 or 23 hours. But we get to decide which hour.
Well, so it ties to that communication piece too. It's like level of service expectations. But you're going to dial it into what that is, along with understanding, you know, what the current condition is, the age, the risk of failure, consequence of failure. You start capturing that information to identify and justify the needs and the capital plan that we've developed.
Well, what I can say is that your messaging, you will not be alone in that. And that I know that the CCI is very interested in helping the advisory boards with their messaging. And this is something that they've, I can say they've specifically talked about because I'm the vice chair of that committee, of that board. And so we have specifically talked about how that the pipe over the bridge failed because we didn't communicate it. And so how do we get involved in helping to communicate with the other advisory groups to get the full message out?
Sure.
And to add a complication to that, Southport provides the water. And Southport also provides the water for Oregon City. And so if their rates have to go up to help them meet their capital needs, in the Southport Water Board meetings, Oregon City and West Lynn are talking about how can we send kind of an equal message. You know, it's not going to be the same because our billing isn't the same. Our distribution systems aren't the same, but to not have anything that is contradictory between the message coming out of both entities.
Which isn't difficult. It just needs to be coordinated.
Yeah.
And if you go out with no messaging, that's how your main water source doesn't get funded.
Yeah. Well, I think touting the victories too, getting grant money and other things, like that's a message that the community should hear about. So yeah, we're raising them, but we're also looking at all avenues, finding as much money as we can to support.
Exactly. These are the ways that we have offset so that we didn't have to come to you for this. Yeah, and messaging and communication would be very key.
So I know, Jeff, you had asked in the past meetings, you know, how can community be held? I think this would be a good avenue for your all's support on this, and I don't know how that would all stack up. Is it a joint session, joint PAB or UAB, council meeting to talk about this stuff? Is it, I know we're doing. I don't know what that looks like.
I mean, the way I've seen advisory work, we give you a vote of approval in terms of a support for a request to the board. We can write a letter of support, and those are the two ways. I don't know that it's, we could read, from my perspective, we could review materials and messaging and talk through strategies for messaging, but there's a little part of it. I don't know that. How it goes out and who sees it and how it's distributed. I think a little bit the city kind of needs to run that outreach style. I can see support to support it, or even tie our committee's support to it.
And it would be a recommendation to the council, right? And then the council would direct staff to get an outreach out there, and then also work on the communication and the messaging, whether it's through open houses or neighborhood association meetings.
Is somebody charged with that, or is that somebody's accountability, or somebody like in terms of outreach? Who is that person in the city?
As far as which?
Would that be
communication?
Community outreach. Community outreach.
Yeah, so it's sort of a little complicated. So Danielle's the public facing, the website, social media, all the big citywide
announcements,
whereas we have Luke in engineering and public works, who's our communications coordinator, who's doing more door-to-door outreach.
Neighborhood meetings.
Are they crafting the message? Or who's putting together like the content of theirs? I guess less who's putting it out, but who's creating.
Well, I would say right now we don't have a message for this.
Right.
I think that's one of the steps that needs to happen. We need to develop a message to tell the story, like you said, I don't know whether that may be something. We find an outside source to help us with that?
I think so. I would also, from the engineering side, figure out what the ask is.
And what it gets us and what, yeah, I agree.
What are you actually targeting? Then work with somebody to help put together a nice outreach approach. You know, we, on the Tri-City Outfall, when we had to go to the vote for crossing the park, the bond, you know, we had a communications plan put together specifically for, here's how we're going to attack this, and here's how we're going to and schedule, here's timelines of how and when things will happen. And so it was all tied to the ballot measure dates and things of that nature, because there's some point, once you put a measure out there, then you can't, you know,
you can't
communication support and other things like that, you can't provide. You can't top your project, and you know your language has to change from the city perspective, but that work, the advisory board's not up to that standard. Yeah. So anyway, I think understanding what your real ask is, what the 10-year forecast, whatever it is, then the message and schedule, that'd be how I would approach it.
And I'm gathering, just listening to everybody talk, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is no necessarily a normal time to do something like this. It's kind of rip the band-aid off and do it, because like you said, if we wait, then who knows what kind of...
It'll get worse. I mean, I would be frustrated as a utility payer if 5 years from now, I got a message of, we knew we were behind and we never brought it to you guys. And we never brought it to you guys to have even a dialogue about what the city or what the community would support or how that made up. I got, you know, I don't know.
I think we're in a good, the timing is right now because we have a new master plan.
Yeah.
Does the city go out and do any kind of a rate study? Do you hire somebody to do a rate study because you know that you can only do 5%? It might be interesting to bring somebody in, you know, like an FCS group or somebody.
To do the rate study
and then say, this is what it should be to meet these needs.
That was for STCs.
But that's a good point. We can hire somebody to come in and this is what we've been given this master plan.
Rather, that would make sense rather than just.
What is the great need?
Because you have a realistic goal as opposed to some arbitrary number is really going to help you sell it.
Yes.
I think this number out of the air.
An independent analysis saying that something needs to be done, but 5% is sufficient.
And not just us sitting here doing it, but this is something that actually gets paid to do this and saying, you guys, you know,
And no matter what they say, this utility advisory board and the city council can still say, well, yeah, we see that you say we need like a 12% initially and then we can ratchet down. Maybe we don't want to do that. We know what the need is. We might want to ramp it up more slowly, or we have
exactly,
but we have the data
exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
Exactly.
Then we're not just shooting from the hip. We have the data.
The master plan identified you have a problem.
Yeah, solve the problem. That's not going to get better. It's not going to heal itself, and so something has to be done.
All right.
Well, I like. You said it, but tied to community expectations on level of service, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can define levels of services, how many outages over a year, you know, you can look at some of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Personally, the fire safety aspect is what it's a lot too. Yeah. My grandfather's a forester, and I grew up spending a lot of time in Montana. Their house nearly burned out recently because they spent so much effort, some space, and they were prepared. And, you know, we lived in the wildland area too, lots of big trees, all of that, and lower the fires in Los Angeles. There's some importance of an adequate water supply area like this. So that might be one way I would go to it.
I agree. That's a whole other interesting deal. I mean, it's, I don't like the building resilience infrastructure grants and protection against fires and that type of thing. I mean, that's big part of the resilience piece.
All right. So does everybody kind of agree that's first step? Try to see if we can bring somebody on and do a rate study, and then we could. Next step would be to craft the message once we know what the data was.
And as the liaison, I don't really need to weigh in, but I think that's the only way we're going to have. We're gonna know what the story is that we need to tell. Mm-hmm. When we know what the recommended rate increases would be versus what our charter says.
To your point, it's the water bond, right? We need to learn from. Mm-hmm. That approach didn't work. Yeah. And it was constrained in time and everything else, but I think we need to learn from that.
And learn from that constraint in time as well. And then we need that time to message to make sure everybody knows what this is about. And not just a money grab.
All right, cool.
And then the other thing that, so Portland Public Schools did this, but right, they went out for money and then they got their approval. And then within a month it was, oh, we can't actually do all of those things with this money because they knew about it. It just seemed like they held it and then had to go back out for more money. And that, I just think, make sure whatever's captured in here, what the analysis is with, you know, you don't. Make sure it's adequate. I guess if you're going to ask to make sure that you got it covered.
And my sense is the Western Wilsonville School District seems to be doing that same approach, and it's very the big turnoff, to say the least.
All right. What do you think, TJ?
I think that a study is a great thing, and it'll bring a lot of picture to light. It'll tell you what's going on.
And if you're going to study rates, I would encourage, I don't know what you're bringing up again. I'd like to see the sanitary be part of this group and information, because it's, you know, those two things play together.
Yeah.
And so it would seem like if you're studying rates on water, I don't know what your sanitary supervisor looks like and how well that's funded, but it should be a water message in my mind, not drinking water only and sewers, you know, people like to flush their toilets and have it go away as well. And so I think there's a piece of that I think that we should be engaged in that as well in my mind as the utility. I think a utility is more than just water.
We talked about it in a meeting, I don't know if it was a couple of meetings ago,
okay.
Kind of revisiting the charter.
Yeah.
Advisory board. I mean, it's like out of the gate, second sentence. I was looking at the utility advisory board, shall make recommendations to the city council concerning rates for water. And that's really the only charge right there.
And that water is all of the water.
In my
it's the runoff, it's yeah. The wastewater.
Stormwater.
Yeah.
Wastewater.
Drinking water.
It is a little bit misleading.
Yeah. Because it doesn't say drinking water, it just
says water.
Yep.
Then we're called the utility. So yeah. I'm going to put that plug back in there.
No, I like that.
And if you're studying rates, you should study rates for water overall, not just drinking water.
But my experience with hiring somebody to do rates is they're going to do one at a time.
Things are hiding that way. And the city.
Just for sure.
Yeah. That's what I experienced when I worked at my SVO.
The two seem so tied together, though, right? Yeah. Our sewer bill is based on our water bills.
Yeah,
so like, it come in and it shuts out.
Yeah, but agreed. If you're surface water, that's a different animal.
Yeah, they don't have numbers, you know, just off the top of the head. So we're just completing the calendar of a pump station, but it's not in good shape either as right. Far as funding for the next few years. So
again, I think people like to flush it and not think about it again.
Yeah.
When I worked at Lake Oswego, they did the Lake Oswego Interceptor Sewer Project, which is the buoyant pipe through the lake. And they actually had divers go in and film some of the sewer lines that were in the lake, many of them very corroded, you know, almost broken through. And the people, particularly the ones around the lake, thought that that was a great project.
That's why I bring up the sewer, because I think it's probably, I assumed it was in a similar zone.
Yeah.
You're capped there as well in terms of what you charge, in the sense if the things are getting less expensive.
Yeah.
That was a very cool project, though.
And if you think people are going to complain about a water break, that's what they're going to do with a sewer break.
Yes, it's not.
All right, well, we'll work on that and hopefully have an update by next meeting.
And of course, then that's also using funding to pay.
I know. Hopefully it won't be too bad.
What's that saying? You have to spend money to make money.
Yeah, those are all expensive.
Very well worth.
Yep.
Yeah. Well worth the funds. All right, we.
Who else does that kind of work other than
FCS? FCS is typically the go-to. We use on everything.
Yeah, Southport just used somebody else. I can't remember the guy's name, but.
Is it Steve Donovan?
Donovan.
Yeah, Steve Donovan. Yeah, and, but, you know, when I worked, like, I speak.
They kind of want to call Erin Blue and Wes. She can tell you her experience with, she's our finance manager. She can tell you what our experience with Steve Donovan is.
And maybe even check in with Wyatt at Southport since they just did it. They probably got a recent bill.
All right. I was going to be real cynical there. I let that one go.
I feel like FCS just got a lot of something.
I think that happened a while ago.
All right. Great.
Thank you. Next up will be capital project updates.
Mark?
Yes. The 2025 waterline project. We actually had probably one of our most successful bids. We had 10 people submit bids. We've never, well, it's been a long time since we've had that many people submit bids, which is great.
That's a big number.
Yeah. The numbers were a little all over the place. We had one, the high was like 2.4 and low bid with Icon at 1.46.
Engineers estimate.
Was 1.9. So most of the bids were below the engineers. I think we had a lot, like a grouping in like the 1.7s and like a couple, 3 or 4 in the 1.5 area. So I felt like they were pretty consistent, but we felt really good about that. Not sure where the 2.4 came from. They really didn't want that bad, I guess. You know, but we were real happy that we got that many bidders on this project.
I was also local too, so that's,
yep.
That's cool.
And we are, so it's going to council for approval next Monday, the 14th.
Yeah. I know you had pulled some parts, so just out of, there was a section of it that was either bids earlier or pulled out because
pulled two sections out because we didn't think we were going to have funding. We're not going to put them back in for this. We'll incorporate them into the next project.
Okay.
And honestly, knowing that this one's a little low, we may be able to then do another waterline project in the coming year as opposed to skipping that. It may just may not be a big one. It may just be those two sections. But TJ, do you have a question?
I don't. I'm good.
Okay. So that's where we are on that one.
Yeah.
Well, we use a new bid management. We use Oregon Bias this time. We've never used Oregon Bias before. Apparently, got out to a lot more people.
I either think engineers have started to
real conservative,
be a little bit too conservative because our bids have come in lower as well lately.
I was a little nervous when we started opening them up. Like, did we miss something? Did we do something wrong?
That's a good message that we came in under.
Yeah. Consistent too, like if one just a one off, which was a concern.
And then I know we're up against time from a 7 o'clock if some, but the 205 water line.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that. The only thing I was going to add was the latest. So they were going to propose to shut down, I think, in 2025. There's kind of two things. There's obviously the bridge, the water line on the span of the bridge. Not there yet, but there's a conflict with Pier 13, which is we're on our side off of 43. I don't know exactly which one it is, but there's a conflict with our existing water line, and we told them they can't, they wanted to suspend it, build, do all this stuff. Like, it's steel, yeah, can't do that. And so they've been, really, we've been talking about this for like last year, and they finally agreed to just do a parallel line to work around it. The trouble is that requires a shutdown, and their shutdown window per the specs is the end of this month. And so they're up against the potential another, I don't know if it would delay the whole entire project 6 months or, but I don't know. So it's not going great.
Does that impact like our intertie with Lake Oswego with that whole trip? What, we're going to go off the intertie compensation for a period of time?
We were, and we renegotiated our IGA with them to allow for longer use than just 2 weeks, which is what I said. But that's up to 2 million. I think we've at times taken more than that. But the trouble is, you know, during the peak season, we're up around seven.
It's not the time of year that you want to
check out. Yeah, hello with the support us on that. So, yeah, it's just, total. It'd be interesting to see the back office workings of that project, because it's pretty amazing. I was just down in Arizona and I shared with these guys. I was kind of before I moved back up here, or after I moved up, ADOT started a big project, and I didn't realize it was 22 miles of freeway that goes around the. Takes basically the 10, gets you around downtown, back to the 10, the 202 extension. It's 22 miles of freeway, six lanes, and it was a 3-year project for $1.7 billion, and they finished it a year ahead of schedule. And it's like, this thing's going to be $1 billion by the time it's done, I think.
And they're going to finish it 2 years behind schedule.
And they've been working on it for going on 3 years.
Yeah.
The problem is that FEMA extension still hasn't alleviated any traffic. It's still just bad in Arizona.
Well, it helped for sure, but yeah, it's still.
Well, that in a lot of what they say is, you know, adding more lanes doesn't reduce traffic, it just gets more people to drive on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, that's still slow go. I don't know when we would have a shutdown or when we would potentially be using the West Forest Main. There was talk again about, because it is hung currently on both spans, north and south, well, why don't we just take it and hang it on one, and then you could expand the other one, which I thought we talked about way back when. They said they couldn't do that, because then that would alleviate one of your. So it's still all up in the air. Don't have any firm dates on a shutdown. I know South Fork is pretty anxious about the whole thing because
it reduces their revenue pretty significantly.
Yeah, so that's that.
All right. Anybody have any discussion items or announcements they'd like to make to the group?
I know.
Oh, don't forget to take your training.
Yeah,
the government training, whatever call it is. So, ethics, Oregon government ethics commission certification.
How often do you have to do that? Do you like? I've done that before. Is that on?
It's a new one where you actually have to take a class, and they take you have to stay there and they issue a certificate. It's not like you can just watch it on YouTube.
I know they, one of the TAB members asked about it. He's been a long time member.
Yeah. There was some training that we went through in the past, but yeah, the one in May is virtual.
Yeah, but this is virtual.
That's for, it's all virtual.
Yeah, yeah. This one is virtual, but it was like 2.5 hours. Yes, and it's funny because they didn't send me my certificate, and I was like, there were 2 fire alarms during the training session. See, I can prove I was there.
Motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, TJ.
Thanks, TJ.
You guys have a good night. Take care.
Good night.
I want to say that there was.